to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is the author of Slow Medicine, Hope and Healing for Chronic Illness. His book has received rave reviews and received endorsements by Dr. Andrew Weil and Dr. Oz. He's a medical blogger for the Huffington Post and has been featured in the New York Times, CNN, and Real Simple. Welcome to the show, Dr. Michael Finkelstein. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Hey, Doc. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's great. First, share with the listeners the meaning behind the title Slow Medicine.
Well, you know, the simple fact is that we're living in a world that's moving awfully fast. And as a result, we're bombarded with all sorts of pressures, information, ideas about how to live, and then just the stresses of things like traffic and news, all the things that we have to deal with in our lives, which is far more than we were meant to handle. That leads to our nervous system, the fight-or-flight response, being turned on and locked on. And that contributes to many of the ailments that people experience, including exhaustion and all the diseases that one can list. And so if fast is the disease, then in my mind, slow is the medicine. And that's how I got the title.
Got it. And you said the word bombarded with so much. And you're so right. We're bombarded every day with conflicting advice on how to get healthy. Some say avoid animal foods, avoid gluten, GMOs, sugar. Some experts now are saying stay away from fruit. How can somebody find the right pathway to what they should and shouldn't eat?
Well, you know, you're pointing to something that's really important, that sometimes when we have a lot of information, we have a hard time digesting it and assimilating it. And let's say we develop our own understanding of how to live our lives, and we've got all the shoulds and should nots in our mind, then we're stressed all the time. Even if we're eating the perfect diet, we figure that out, and we're eating the perfect diet, then we're looking at our food on our plate, and we're stressed, because what if somebody snuck in a little cheese or something? Then, or we're eating broccoli so that we don't get cancer. Well, then our mind is filled with a stressful concept, which affects our body. So to me, the idea is to live your life in balance, to find harmony, to think about beauty all the time, to think about peace and tranquility. And it's not that you forget about what might be the right arrangement for life in terms of our flow, our pattern, rest, relaxation, what we put on our plate, but we have to learn to balance that out with the peace and tranquility of living a good life without getting neurotic about it.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned peace and tranquility. I'm curious, in your opinion, do you feel a large percentage of our physical ailments are caused by our mental health, like you mentioned, stress, anxiety, maybe lack of self-esteem, depression? And how can slow medicine help address this concern?
I think yes. The simple answer is what's on our mind affects our body and may be the most potent force. There are certainly injuries that we have. You know, we can fall, break an arm, and that may not have been exactly what's on our mind, but we could think about what we were thinking about before we fell, or how we were distracted, or what we do to align ourselves to be at more risk. Still, our mind, when we're stressed, produces chemical reactions. Hormones, neurotransmitters circulate through our system and create more inflammation. It makes us more susceptible to diseases, and when we get them, it's more difficult to recover. So if we can work our mind, if we can get to places of greater harmony and tranquility, not that we'll be immune to everything, but we will be in better shape. And if we were to get sick, we may have the wherewithal to not lose track of our entire life as a result of the ailments we face.
Got it. And what have you found works? Is it meditation, yoga, affirmations, massage? Is there one that you recommend?
You know, those are all reasonable. But I look at those as seeds. I'm a gardener, so I have a big garden in my backyard. And I buy seeds in the winter, and I get ready to put them in the garden in the spring. But I don't stick a seed into the soil until I work the soil. So meditation, yoga, a good diet, those are all seeds. They're going into the soil of our body-mind-spirit complex that already exists. So how can you cultivate health in that soil before you stick any of those seeds into it? And for me, the key is to live your life with a focus on rhythm, meaning day, night, a weekly rest day, you know, honoring seasons, and then focusing on our relationships. Our relationships starting with ourselves. You mentioned self-esteem, so coming into better terms with our own feelings of self-worth, our intimate partners, our families, our communities, if we work on relationships, if we work on that inner tranquility, then whatever seeds we put into it, whether and all the things that are good advice then will flourish. They'll blossom. They'll take root and they'll grow.
Got it. So work on the soil. Soil is the foundation. So you're really saying work on your foundation before you add seeds. I like that.
Yes. And often the seeds make us stressed. Think of all the dietary advice out there,
exactly.
All the potential supplements you can buy, all the different physical activities that you can do, whether they're exercise or hiking. I mean, all of them are legitimate. However, when a person does those, let's say somebody exercises every day, an hour every day, well, then that might be unbalancing, frankly. People mm-hmm. get fanatical about their diets. I'm not sure that that leads them to be the healthiest person they can be if you consider health as a state of wholeness, which includes not just their body, but their body's relationship to other people, to the planet, to life itself.
Yeah, and fanatical about their diet means that they're stressed internally, and then there's your soil.
Well, then they get back to a state of inflammation.
Yes.
And look, I get, you know, my wife gets on me all the time because I tend to talk about diet in a way where, you know, people wonder, you know, well, don't I have a protocol, a dietary advice? And I do, but I don't want to overemphasize diet if it precedes the understanding that those are things you're putting into something already, that already exists. Work the what already exists.
That
get into
sense.
Alignment.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, you're certified in both internal medicine and holistic medicine, which makes for a very unique balance compared to most mainstream physicians. I'm curious, what percentage of people being treated by traditional medical route of drugs and surgery could be eliminated if they lived a holistic lifestyle?
Well, there's two parts to the answer. I think, but I'll be simple, I think somewhere in close to 80% of ailments that people experience would be, if not eliminated, at least minimized so that they would no longer hinder that person's feelings of a good life.
Right.
When people have acute ailments, heart attacks, major accidents, a hospital is the best place to go. There's no question. Western medicine excels at dealing with acute, life-threatening injuries and illness. But what about the days in between, the chronic, the condition of living itself? I think Western medicine, having gone through the whole route, is not that good at it, honestly. People limp along with crutches, literally. So the answer isn't more doctors necessarily with that type of training, but more people. Physicians are getting there, but there are many other practitioners. But one can help you deal with that soil question, the quality of your life, the balance, the tranquility. And some of it is common sense, frankly. I think many of our grandmothers know the answer.
So true. In the minute we have left, I want to get your answer. You know, health issues, people always attribute to our DNA, our mom, our dad, our grandparents. Are genes predictive of our health or lack thereof?
It's a good question. I think 10 years ago, the answer would have been yes. I think now the answer with an understanding about epigenetics is that the mind can affect genetic expression. And that effect could be extremely powerful in that it could even ward off and head off ailments that would have 10 years ago assumed to have been almost certain. So if we can work our mind state, meaning getting into that state of slow, of balanced, of the parasympathetic nervous system, I think we can even deal with difficult genetics.
That's great information. You know, people blame, oh, my parents were overweight. So in their mind, they're programming, they're going to be overweight. So that's great information. I believe in that wholeheartedly. So that's great for you sharing that. And give us the website people can go to learn more.
SlowMedicineDoctor.com, and doctor is D-O-C-T-O-R, the SlowMedicineDoctor.com.
And thank you so much, Dr. Finkelstein, for being on the show today. To get your copy of Slow Medicine, you can visit SlowMedicineDoctor.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for Dr. Finkelstein's newsletter and check out his health blog articles. You can follow him on Twitter at SlowMedLiving. And for our daily health tweets, at Dr. David Friedman. Remember, if you missed any of the great information we're giving, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at ToYourGoodHealthRadio.com. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman, having some fun. Thanks for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.